Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Show. We're helping others is the name of the game, and on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Y'all, today I am so excited because I'm starting our health series. Now, I hope you have not left your treadmill, right? You still working out? You still eating good? We're moving into our health series for the next 2 months, from February to March, and we're going to bring in experts in the field of health, whether it's physical health, spiritual health, financial health. Hello, somebody. We can always get that right. And we always want to find out somebody who can help us out in every situation. Today, I am here with Miss Ada. Honey, when I met Miss Ada in 2019, she just sparked joy. But I'm going to tell you what she did for me. She helped me see that my health is my responsibility. That I can't go and say, you know what, I'm going to run through the drive-thru and then get mad when I'm still squeezing on the bed trying to get them jeans. She gave me a word. She told me I need to get it together. And guess what? I did. All right. So I want to welcome you, Miss Ada. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for Ms. Patrice for giving me this opportunity to be here, to be able to teach others exactly what I went through, my whole story, and how to take responsibility and become that CEO of their health and lifestyle that they're supposed to be.
I love it. Y'all hear that, right? Y'all see how she got it together. She told me I had to be my own CEO of my health. But before we get into this, and I just want to know a little bit about you. Tell me about you.
Well, let me tell you, I'm going to start from where I was a kid, because everything started when I was a kid. I was born as a premature baby with all kind of issues, health issues as I was born. As I grew up to my, child age, mm-hmm. I had a heart murmur. I suffered of GERD. I have asthma. Okay. I've also had to use braces on my feet because I have bow-legged. I was bow-legged completely. And you know, the old time they put the lead braces, you know, the metal iron braces in your legs. I was walking like a soldier. to make the legs straight. And I also have high blood pressure since I was a little girl, okay?
Wow. Wait, this is how many that you can have. I didn't know you can have high blood pressure in childhood.
Yes, it was something that because I only weighed like a 1 pound something. I was a really preemie baby. Okay. And I have a lot of issues. So those are one of the issues that came through. As I became a teenager, the asthma kind of cleared up. Already I'm out of my braces on my legs. The GERD, I was having control of the GERD, you know, the gastritis and stuff like that. But my blood pressure never budged.
Wait, so you ended up from having blood pressure issues from birth and they never got under control?
Never got it under control. Like when I was little, it was more, a little bit more under control. But as you get, as I get into a teenager, mm-hmm. you know, and when you are out of the control of your parents.
Yes.
You know, you think you know it all. You know how it is when we're teens.
Yes, and
you're adults. You know, mommy can tell you anything, papi can tell you anything, you know it all.
Yes.
So I wasn't being constant with my, you know, treatment. Like I'm supposed to be. With the medication and stuff like that, because the medication was giving me so much side effects that I didn't like how I feel. So wow. Because high blood pressure is something that you don't feel it. So it's okay to say to you, you know, you feel it when you're really in a bad situation, but usually when your blood pressure is rising, you're not feeling, you don't have any symptoms, you know?
Oh gosh. Okay.
So you just say, okay, I'm not going to take it because I don't want to feel the side effects of this medication. I don't want to feel sleepy. I don't want to feel like I'm down or druggy, so I didn't want to take the medication.
Wow, and this is interesting because as you're talking about it, so many people don't realize it's not that the med is bad, it's just that you're not actually monitoring what are those side effects and you're not talking to your healthcare provider all the time. And you bring up a good point. Because people don't like it, they don't take it. And
exactly.
Many times that causes another issue, but I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm sorry. Go ahead. So 10 years, you're not following through. What's happening in these moments when you're not following through?
Well, I'm not following through. And what's happening is that this is what I did. Whenever I feel bad, when I really feel the symptoms, that means that my blood pressure was in the 200s. I will end up in the hospital. They give me new medication. Okay. And then I will take the medication for a while. And then when I get tired of the medication or either the medication, my body got used to the medication, my blood pressure started raising up again. And I end up in the hospital again. And it was a cycle. of being at the hospital. It was so bad. It got into a point. My family used to say, here goes Ida to another retreat.
Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. So this became the family little comment about you going to another retreat.
Not even the family, even church was saying the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, that here goes Ida to another regime, because it was take the medication, take it for a while. Either the medication, the side effects were so bad that I stopped it, or either they were not so bad and I continued taking it, but then my body got used to it and they no control my blood pressure anymore. Now, means to tell you that into all this time, I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm not eating right. I'm not doing anything right that I supposed to.
Oh, wait a minute.
And I'm working in the health field, okay?
Wait a minute. So you are a healthcare provider.
Amen.
And you're not taking your own advice?
Exactly, because the advice of the doctor is take the pill and continue. You know, they're not sitting there telling you, you know, you have to eat right and what about your mind and your spirit and all that. They're not teaching you none of that. Actually, I went to pre-med myself, and I only took one semester of nutrition in my second semester of college. Imagine if I would have been a doctor, then you have 4 more years of medical school and then 3 years of residency. And you're supposed to remember half a semester that you took early in your undergraduate. They don't teach you the things that natural medicine and functional medicine teach you when it comes to nutrition and lifestyle and holistic. They teach you there's a symptom, there's a pill. There's a symptom, there's a pill. There's a symptom, there's a pill.
You know what? This is amazing, because I think for so many people, we've become, especially in American culture, we've become very adapted and very conditioned. Let me use that word. We've become very conditioned that everything can be solved with a pill. And, you know, as I'm hearing you say this, I think about my grandmother. My grandmother said, I would rather die doing it naturally then live sucking down a pharmacy. And I couldn't get it. I really couldn't understand it, because there were certain things that, you know, you see as a kid and you just like, well, that's their medication or this and that. But then as I got older, let me tell you, as you mature, you learn some things a little bit differently. So for you, when did this story change? Because you're here, you're kind of going through this cycle and everybody's kind of making jokes about it. Which I find very interesting, because it's not even just happening at the home, it's happening at church, and people are saying you are on another retreat. And how did you deal with it? Let me just break this down. How did you deal with hearing these comments emotionally? Because that plays a big part in our health. I mean, I can't imagine someone saying such a thing and thinking it's going to be beneficial.
I was always in fear of death. Wow. I was always in fear of death, a fear of being incapacitated in bed and anything like that. So every single time that I went to the hospital, I was in total fear, which means that then you are anxious and then it takes longer for them to lower your blood pressure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that become more of a cycle. Then when I turned 31, I suffered a major stroke where I got paralyzed the whole left side of my body. My whole left side of my body, I had to learn how to walk and talk and everything again. My whole left side was paralyzed. And yet, okay, I'm going through whatever. Yeah, now I'm being more responsible when it comes to taking my medications and stuff like that. But I haven't yet learned about nutrition and everything like that. I still work in the healthcare field. You know, I still taking my pills, because the key is that if you don't want to do any changes when it comes to your lifestyle and your nutrition, then you need to follow the medication. Why? Because the medication is going to save your life. It's not going to give you a quality of life, but it's going to save your life. The thing about Big Pharma is that they keep you alive, because that's how they make the money, keeping you alive. Wow. You know?
So, as I'm hearing you say this, and I know it sounds very out of the box, but I'm going to say it anyway. This sounds like, literally, it sounds like a drug dealer keeping their addict or keeping their customer, let me say it that way, their customer alive long enough for them to come and get the next hit.
Exactly. You got that right. I got into a point after the stroke, mm-hmm. I got into the point that I was taking 19 pills a day.
I'm sorry, you said 19 or 90?
19 pills a day. It was 9 medications, but some of them were 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 2 times a day, add up to 19 pills a day. And after that big stroke, I still suffer 4 TIAs, which means transient ischemic attack, which is our small strokes.
Yes. So wait a minute. After this big stroke, you had 4 more strokes?
Four little strokes.
Wait a minute, y'all. I got to pause for a second because what Miss Ida is talking about is so, this is so amazing, but I got to tell you, I got to jump in for a word from our sponsor really quickly. Make sure that you are grabbing your copy of Trauma and All Their Cousins, available at PatriceBrantley.com. Make sure that you're grabbing a copy to share with a friend. Head on over to the Seed Sowing Movement to grab your set there as well. Because what she's talking about is right in the book. It's talking about how healthcare can become a trauma to you. And yes, if you don't have the right healthcare, what it can do for you. Wow. Oh my gosh. Come on, Miss Ida. Take me a little deeper now. So now we're here.
And now, you know, you're in your 30s, your metabolism is not the same. Now, you know, when I was in the hospital, they had to put you, you know, through all those medications that make you gain weight and stuff like that. I gained to almost 295 pounds.
Wait a minute. So wait, when you went into the hospital, what were you? Do you have a ballpark of how much you were?
Yeah, I was about 160.
So you went from 160 to almost
290 in the next few years after that stroke and all the little stroke is, I keep adding up, you know, and in between all that, I had a baby.
Whoa. So wait a minute. In the midst of all of this health stuff going on, love is in your face. You have this beautiful little bouncing little bundle of joy.
And that was another trauma. The whole pregnancy was another trauma because my blood pressure was out of control. I was above 35. Okay. So they actually, this was a story more of a testimony of God than anything else, because when I was 26 weeks, they put me in the hospital and they told me, okay, we need to take the baby out because your blood pressure is not under control and it's starting to damage your kidneys. Whoa. Okay. And I didn't want to finish the pregnancy, because they said that if they took it out, most likely he was not going to live, because blood pressure don't allow the baby to grow. When your blood pressure is out of control, your baby don't grow inside of you properly. So I said to myself, let me pray. I told them to let me pray, and I start praying. I was like a crazy lady praying in the hospital and saying, you know, singing a worship song in Spanish that talk about Holy Spirit, come to me, you know, burn my insides, cleanse everything and purify me. That's what the song says, but in Spanish. And I start singing that thing real strong, real strong, real strong. I'm saying it so strong that the agitation is supposed to raise your blood pressure. Uh-huh. But when I came back, my blood pressure was normal. So I didn't sign the paper, and I promised that I would stay in the hospital until I could hold the baby as long as I could. So I stayed in the hospital from 26 weeks to 31 weeks. And at 31 weeks, they take out the baby. When I'm giving birth, okay, when they're doing the C-section, you know, they keep you awake. The room is full of neonatologists, pulmonatologists, you know, all kind of specialists for the lungs and the stomach and everything for the baby, because they thought the baby's not going to cry, the baby's not going to be able to breathe. God is such a great, awesome, magnificent God.
Yes, he is.
Like when they took the head, only the head of my baby, he was screaming to the top of his lung. My baby's turning 18 next month, and he's still screaming, okay?
Hey, he came here to do some things, make it right.
His name is Malachi. That's his name, Malachi. So he was born, and he didn't need to go to the incubator. He had issues with digestion.
Uh-huh.
So that's the reason why they kept him in the hospital until he gained onto 4 pounds, because he only weighed 2.4 pounds. And they kept it in the hospital to do that. And then they kept me to control my blood pressure and my kidneys and everything. And then they let me go home. And then I still going to the doctor, taking my pills. Then I became very responsible in taking my pills and doing the things right, so I don't end up in the hospital so often. But then my kids are 15 years apart. Okay. So my daughter got married and she get pregnant and she's about to give birth. Okay. And this is my breakthrough moment, okay? She about to give birth, and they check her. She haven't dilated completely, and they tell her, I need you to walk in the holes, okay? Mm-hmm. And every single time that you have a contraction, I need you to squat, because that's going to help open, you know, the cervix.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here with her and her husband, you know, her husband on one side, me on another side, because she had a big belly. So we are walking with her, and every single time that she have a contraction, we will squat. But when every time that we squat, her husband had to help her and help me stand up, because I couldn't stand up either because I'm really overweight. So I couldn't, you know, stand up on my own. The thing was, at one point, my daughter have a big contraction and she feel the baby's coming out. The nurse is coming to grab her. I fall down and they left me there on the floor.
What? Wait a minute. You're here in the midst of this. Y'all are walking to walk this baby down. She has a huge contraction and you go down in the middle of all of this?
In the middle of this, they had to take her and they left me in the floor because she was about to give birth.
Right.
They let me in for, so somebody else that walked by helped me get up. And then I went to the room. I saw the baby, being born, my granddaughter being born. And at the same time, by then, my son was 8 years old, energetic as heck. You know, he was energetic, bouncing from the walls. No ADD, but, you know, very hyper. You know how boys are. And stuff like that. And I said to myself, okay, I want to live long enough so I can enjoy my kids. I want to be able to run with them. I want to be able to enjoy my granddaughter. I want to be able to see my son grow and I'll be able to do ball with my son and do things that my son does. Because I remember many times I couldn't do things with my son because I'm too tired, because I was too sleepy or something was going on.
Yes.
With my body that I couldn't, you know, be there 100% like I wanted to be with my son. And at the same time, my granddaughter has been born and I want to be able to spend time with my granddaughter and see her grow and you know, be in her life. If I continue the way that I was, you know, every single time that I was in the hospital, it was like, God, please don't let me die. Don't let me die. Don't let me die. Because after those strokes, all I was waiting for a big stroke to come in and let me go, you know, that's what I was thinking. So I said to myself, wow. Listen, Ida, you were not responsible before. Now you become responsible with your medication, your treatment and your doctor's visit and things still don't change. Okay. Then you have to do something else. Something else had to give. You start doing research. Start looking to see what else you can do. So that's when I decided to go and start doing research into natural medicine, functional medicine, holistic medicine, Ayurveda, acupuncture, Chinese medicine. I went and I do some big research into everything. Every little thing that I start learning here and there, I start applying it. And then I decided to go back to school.
Okay.
And I became a holistic health practitioner and an integrative coach. As I was learning, I was implementing in my own life.
Oh, I love that. Because so many people want to get out here and tell you, hey, I got formulas. I got steps for you to follow. But if you've never walked those steps yourself, how can you help somebody else? So I'm loving that you literally went in and hearing your story takes me one of these from tragedy to triumph moments. And I know it sounds so, to me, it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, this beautiful experience of getting ready to see your first grandbaby and you going down and then realizing, you know what? I don't want to live like this. So you did all this research, you came in, you started pulling from every which way, and then you started actually utilizing this for you. What was that journey like when you started actually putting these things that you were learning into step for yourself?
I started learning first the physical part, what I can do different. You know, I started eating differently. I cut down in so much meat. I cut down in salt. I started implementing a lot of vegetables into my, and a new vegetable. Because let me tell you, people, I am Puerto Rican. And a Puerto Rican diet is rice and beans, plantain, and some meat. And if you have a salad, maybe once or twice a week, it's lettuce, tomatoes, and pineapple. And lettuce, tomatoes, and I don't know how to say pepino, cucumbers. Cucumbers. Okay. You know, that's the vegetables limit for Puerto Rican, okay? So that was my diet. So I was not eating enough. So I started cutting down on the rice and cutting down on the meat and eating more vegetables and then exercising. But then I noticed that I'm always anxious. Okay. Mm. But that also, you have to do, my job was stressful. Oh my God, the job that I, because what happened to my job, I'm also a registered medical assistant and a laboratory technologist. I was hired at that particular job just as a registered medical assistant, but then they fired the people from the lab, okay? Wow. And because I had the license, they put me in the lab, and then I have to do the lab in the morning, and then I have to do the medical assistant in the afternoon, and I also was the nurse triage.
So wait a minute. You were hired for one job and end up doing three?
Three jobs with the same price, okay?
Oh, then, wow. Talk about somebody getting over.
Exactly. So the stress was tremendous. Here you are drawing blood to somebody You know, you're drawing blood to somebody and a patient that is sick is calling. You have to stop this to go and take care of the patient that is calling. And then the doctor don't want to see the patient because he got too many patients. So you have to do a nurse visit, meaning that you do whatever the doctor tell you to do to the patient. You brought back the results of it to the doctor and the doctor tell you what to do. And then you give the prescriptions to the patient, and the patient gone. I have to do all that, you know? And so I was so stressed.
So wait a minute. So now that you've gotten into this and you've actually putting this into practice, because this is, as you're talking, I so understand what you're talking about right now. Oh my God, I so understand. Because you're in a space, you've done this, you're changing up the physical because everybody focuses on that. That's the easy part. At least in my eyes, I think that's the easy piece. Because like you said, you're adding in new, you're changing up the diet that you were taught. And a lot of being an adult is honestly unlearning the things you learned or the things you've been taught. And you get here and you've changed up the diet. But then I love how you talked about the stress piece, because that emotional piece, people don't realize the stress and the emotional and the mental, that plays more of a part than anything in any kind of health situation. And I'm so identified with you with this job thing, because right now that's literally what I'm going through. I'm doing the job with three people. And then everybody's like this, you have to just keep going. And I'm like, no, we can't keep going like this. Either something's going to happen or one of us ain't going to make it out. And I don't want to be the one with the brown jacket.
So what I did was that, because then I started noticing that I'm stressed, I'm not sleeping well. Mm. I'm not sleeping well because the medication for my blood pressure, the side effect is that they make you sleepy. But I have to take it in the morning because I have to be at 6 a.m. to start drawing blood. So my body's fighting the sleep through all day. So at night, when you try to go to sleep, you couldn't go to sleep.
Can't go to bed.
You understand? Wow. So all that, it was not helping me more than my physical. It was more my mental. Another thing is I have all this negativity in my mind. You know, I'm a sick person. I can't produce anything. If this don't change, I'm going to die. So I have to start changing my mindset, way I think about myself.
I didn't love myself.
I was all about other people, giving away, taking care of everybody, the house, taking care of everybody in the clinic, covering for everybody. I'm the kind of person that if some people don't do something that I know they're supposed to do, and I know that's going to affect my patient, I will do it even though it's somebody else's job, because I know that it's going to affect my patient. So I took more than I supposed to even so after the 3 jobs, I still cover even more. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. So now you're going in this space and you got to work on your boundaries, because this means now your boundaries are in a lopsided love type of thing, and you're doing more than what you're supposed to do.
So that's especially when I went to the school that I was getting more of a more direct teaching, that's when I learned more about boundaries, about mindset. You know, and that part of holistically speaking about your relationships and about everything else. And I started to apply all those things into my life. The first 3 months after I started changing the way I live in, I saw the scale. And I was not concentrated on losing weight. I was concentrating on getting healthy. That's the problem. People lose weight to get healthy. It's the other way around. Get healthy to lose weight. There's a lot of people out there in the gym that look beautiful and buff, and the waist is this small, and the stomach's completely flat, and their bosoms are perky and all that good stuff, but the insides are rotten.
Ooh.
Because there's no amount of exercise that you can do, that is going to clean up the damage that you do to your body by your mind, by your spirit, and by the things that you eat.
Okay, that's a whole word right there. Y'all need to catch that. That was a whole word. So y'all can go work out all day long and be physically beautiful and be spiritually, emotionally, and mentally messed up. Wow.
Don't you see those athletes that fall down and die? Young, sometimes 15, 14, 20-something, they just die. And these are athletes that are always exercising, always in a good shape. It's because there's other things that our health depends on our mind, depends on our spirit, depends on what you put in your body, depends on your environment, depends on your relationship, it depends on your finances. Wow. Okay, all those things have to do with your health. And until you get all those things in line, you are not going to be able to enjoy full optimal health. Another thing is that We look at our bodies as a symptom. You have a symptom, we take care of that symptom. But what is causing that symptom? Remember that our smaller unit is our cells.
Yes.
The cells make the tissues make the organs, okay? The organs make the system, the system make the body. So you feeling the symptoms in the body, then you need to backward engineer, is that a reverse engineer to see what happened all the way down to the cell of that area.
So in other words, I need to get to the root. I don't need to just look at what's the outside symptom. I need to be digging to the root of the problem.
Exactly. So you got to, you know, to seek the root of the problem. And then right there, you, yeah, if the symptom is something that you cannot tolerate, then you might have to do something, you know, in the meantime to control the symptoms while you optimize yourself and your health in self, in, you know, as a, at the cellular level. So that's something that is very, very important. So I started studying, I graduated, and the first 3 months, I lost about 40 pounds. My blood pressure, I went from the 19 pills to 3 pills.
Amazing.
And that's not me taking the medication, because at that time, I decided I'm going to be responsible in it. So the doctor had to remove medication. And by then, I was a 3. Right now, as we speak, I only take 1 when I need it. Only if my blood pressure is over 150 a night, then I have to take that medication.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
So yes, it is, you have to be responsible about your own health. You have to take care about your own health and you have to look around it. That's when I was working and I was so stressed. Then I decided, okay, like you're doing that, you are planning your exit strategy.
Yeah.
I plan my exit strategy. But because I work in the medical field, I said to myself, there's a lot of things here that I can use as well. So what I did was that they offer a lot of my company. I don't want to say the name of the company, so I don't. But my company offer a lot of classes, offer a lot of instruction, continued education. I took all the continued education available, even if it wasn't related to my, because I was working as the lab, then they have things I have to do with the lab or things I have to do with American. But I even took all their nutrition classes that they have, everything. I took everything that I can. Then I made relationships with all the reps and things like that with people, just to make sure that I have all those connections, handouts and things that they have that I know that I could use and reprogram it into more organically and more holistic. Then I took it and myself. So I prepare my exit strategy, start paying off some bills.
Yes.
Because I said, when I open my business, I have no idea how things are gonna roll. So I wanna make sure I'm not a burden to my husband. Okay, so I decided to pay off some bills, you know, student loans on my car, and so, you know, so on and so forth. And I came out of the job. And the first thing I did was, while I was in the job, I started a health ministry at the church.
Wow. So wait a minute. What I love about this is that you literally took what was there and what was offered. Because so many times people are like, you know, go on out, step out and do this business. But wow, you got that 9 to 5. Utilize what's there to help you get to where you want to go. If you're in something, and I love how you said, you know what, I started investing in myself. I started going in connections and actually getting into groups and classes and things that really, you know, wasn't what I was supposed to be, quote unquote, at that job, but I started investing in myself with the different classes. I made relationships. So many people don't realize that is what your whole experience of life is about. Not just your health and wealth, but your relationships. Then when you got into that, you actually had a exit plan and started saying, you know what, if I'm going to step out to this like I want to, let me clear out some bills. And I have to be honest, I know during the COVID thing, for me, that was a very big thing, paying off, clearing out, getting rid of, so that when we started looking at, hey, do I want to stay here for the next so many years, or do I want to step out and do something different, I'm already prepared. And that's a big one. Y'all, we just got to pause for a second. I'm trying to tell you, listen. Y'all grab y'all copy of Trauma and Their Cousins, available at patricebrantley.com. Make sure you also tell a friend to head on over to the SSSSmovement.org and find out more about how we can be a positive help to you and your mental health. So I'm loving this. Y'all know what? She done gave me so much right now. So after this, you done did your planning. You ready to go? Getting a little deeper after you started planning, what it was like for the business piece for me a little bit, because now you've done all this planning, you've done all of this, and now you're stepping out and you started at your church. That is the part I'm loving. Pick up from there.
Because what happened was that, you know, when I was at the end of my schooling, mm-hmm. you needed to do a certain amount of coaching. You know, you had to do a certain amount of coaching. So I decided to myself, why not do it with the people that I know at church that I know that they need it, you know?
Okay.
So I started doing a health ministry at church that I called Bethesda Health Ministries.
Okay.
I did health fairs and the good thing that was that at the time, because I have the license for labs, I will do the group. I will take the cholesterol and everything at the beginning. I bought my own machine and everything. Uh-huh. I will draw their blood, do their tests, put them in the diet and the change, and then retest everything, and they could see how, you know, their numbers got better and stuff like that. So I started doing that at church, and then like a year and a half through it, you know, I was depleted money wise. Okay. Yeah. Because I'm giving all this to church. I'm not asking for money or anything like that. So I said to myself, you know, I should continue with the church, of course, mm-hmm. but make a business so that I can make money that I can invest into the people that I'm trying to help, you know? So I decided to change it into a business and get it, you know, LLC, you know, get a
LLC
incorporated, you know,
okay.
get it incorporated. Because I didn't know much about none of that. Okay. So I went and I got trying to get it incorporated into Bethesda Health Ministry, but there's too many things in Florida named Bethesda, and they tell me I had to pick up another name. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
So I said to myself, okay, I have no idea. Let me go back to the drop board and pray to God, because he's the one that can give me all the answers. So I prayed to God and said, God, give me a name, and God gave me Everlasting. Yeah. RX for Everlasting Health. All Why right. RX? RX because God said to me, this is how what God said, listen, you want to use your background in medicine, okay? Because not only do people need to know now all the natural things, but some of your clients are going to be people that are already suffering on a chronic disease, and you need to know how to navigate their medication, they need to know also how to navigate the healthcare system so they can get the best out of it in the meantime while they change their habits and everything. So that's why you're going to use RX. Then Everlasting, you're going to use Everlasting because Everlasting, one, you want people to know that you are a Christian, that you come from God, that God is the essence of everything that you do. And Everlasting is a word that is used a lot in the Bible,
yes,
more than in everyday language. So, and not only that, but every letter in the word Everlasting represents a pillar holistically that you need body, mind, and spirit in order for you to be healthy. So if you go to the word Everlasting, the first E have to do with exercise. You know that we need exercise in order to be healthy. Things that doesn't move, they putrefy. So you need exercise.
Okay.
And then V is for vision. You know, I'm not talking about eyesight. If you don't have a why, you don't take care of yourself. So having a why is the fundamental in order for you to take care of yourself and to reach optimal health. Then you have the E for an environment. You need to have an environment that is clean, that is peaceful, that is free of toxins, that have the right people around you. So an environment that you give to yourselves, to your body, to your mind, and to your spirit is very important. Okay. So, and then the other letter is the R for rest. You know that for me, the Sabbath is important. We need to rest one day. That's why I created the world, you know, and then rested one day. So you need to teach people about resting, not only resting about sleeping, but resting about having the day off, the vacation, and all that good stuff. And then the L, love and relationship. You know, this is God talking to me. You know, Ida, that people, you remember the people of Israel, how much they murmur, how hard they are. People are the most stressful thing ever. I can tell you myself. I'm talking to him like this. I can tell you myself how stressful these people. So people learning how to deal and communicate and choose their inner circle, communicate with the people and learn how to nurture good relationship is essential for optimal health.
All right.
And then he said, then A for attitude. You know, an attitude is essential. To serve God is essential to have ultimate health, because when you have a negative attitude, it suppresses your immune system. It closes doors. It closes friendship. It damages friendship and relationships. So having a good attitude is essential for ultimate health. And then you said S for spirituality, because I'm your creator. I'm your creator. I'm the one that the person needs to go to. If you don't know your creator, it's like you buy in a refrigerator. What the first thing that you do? You look at the booklet to know who's the manufacturer. When something is wrong, you go back to the manufacturer. So I am your manufacturer. They need to learn how to go back to the manufacturer. They need to learn how to forgive, how to be grateful, and so on and so forth. And then he said, time management. That's the resource I give you, all of you. I give you 24 hours a day. How come is it some people use it wisely and some people don't? You need to teach them that, because most of the stress is because they feel that they don't have no time. And then he go, I of income. You're probably saying, God, what income have to do with health? You know, I know, money hungry or anything like that. But listen, Ida, income and money is the resource to get the things that you need. Hello. It's a resource that you use right now to do the things that you need. So knowing how to manage that resource, no matter how little or how much you have, it is essential, because there's nothing more stressful than billing collectors calling at your house, you know, or people that you owe money coming and trying to collect your money and things like that, or not having the money to pay your co-pays. You know, you have insurance, but you still have no money for co-pays, or you don't have no money to pay your light bill or something like that. It's very stressful. Knowing how to manage the money is essential. And then, nutrition. Nutrition is, God said, it's essential, because it's what you put in your body. But remember that nutrition is not only what you put in your body, but what you put in your mind also, what you put in your spirit, what you see, what you touch, and all your senses.
Yes,
you know? And then G is goals. You need to set up those goals, you know, to be healthier. And then in the age of health, then you're going to teach in health prevention, you know, how to navigate the healthcare system, how to, you know, give more specific information about different diseases, how to manage different diseases, how they can create an individual lifestyle protocol, and so on and so forth. And that's how I came to RX for Everlasting Health.
Listen.
And I incorporated my business.
I love it. First of all, how do we reach out? Because when I tell you I'm over here, so much joy, you done just did me good, okay? You done fed me like a fat girl should. How do we reach out to get our lifestyle on this Everlasting RX journey?
Go to Facebook, to my business page, and it's RX for Everlasting Health. That's what you put, Facebook.com/ RX for Everlasting Health. www.facebook.com/ RX, the X, and number 4, Everlasting Health.
Well, I definitely want to give you a chance to give us our last word. What would be your last word for that person right now who is saying, I want better, but I'm hurting, I'm struggling. I know what you're talking about. I've been that person that can't move, can't really do. What would be your word of encouragement for them?
My word for encouragement is to see their life holistically, to understand that they have more control of the hell that they think of. That because you're feeling this way, that doesn't mean the end of the, that's all how you're going to feel forever. Okay. We have a control. I'm sorry. You have control how to change the expression of your genes. Because all your family have high blood pressure, that doesn't mean that you have to have high blood pressure. If you give your body, yourself, the environment that they need in order for them to work in the optimal higher potential, then you'll be able to change it. So you don't have to end up like that. You have to make sure that you know that you have the control. You need to see yourself as the CEO of your body and pretend that your body is your own company. If you're a CEO, you're in control. So you want to be in control of you. You are your own company, and your cells are your employees. Your organs are your tools. Your systems are your department, and your human resources. Okay, your human resources is your nutrition and your lifestyle. Are you giving yourselves the thing that they need in order for them to work in the highest healing potential? Are you having emotional strength? Are you having positive thoughts? Are you giving the food and nutrition that the cells need? Are you are connected with your spiritual source so that your cells are working in the right way? That's what you need to know. And then stop the victim mentality, okay? And stop putting all the responsibility into your doctor, a person that see you maybe 1 to 4 times a year, maybe for 15 minutes, have 20 people before you, 20 people after you, okay, a computer that they need to qualify everything, and then you don't even come prepared to give him a chance to do the best he can. Okay,
right.
So remember, I always have this saying that I say at the end of all my videos, is I said, the doctor is responsible for your sick care, but you, yes, you are responsible of your health care. The doctor is there when you're sick, And in pain, they can alleviate it. They can give you the pill, and that's going to alleviate it. But you are the one responsible of giving your body exactly what it needs in order to heal. That's not the responsibility of the doctor. The responsibility of the doctor is just to control the trauma right now at the moment. And it's not because they cannot do the other part. They should be doing the other part. But because medicine has become a business instead of caring for people, we are a number, we are a diagnosis, we are a ICD-10 diagnosis number. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not doing that job. And because they're not doing that job, then you have to do it. Why you have to do it? Because this is your body. This is the only place you're going to live. This is the instrument that's going to help you fulfill your dreams and your God-given purpose. You are important. You are valuable. You are the solution to somebody's problem. You are here with a purpose. You were not here just to live, work, and die.
Y'all, I couldn't say that no better. Listen, y'all better go on over here to this RX Everlast Nail. Get your life together. Thank y'all for tuning in. I want to thank you, Miss Ida. She has given me so much today. Okay, y'all know, like I love to say, she fed me like a fat girl good. Y'all know on this channel, fat is fluffy, fabulous, and thick. All right. Thank you all for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show. We're helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.